And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. It's the Daily Ding. Playoffs, second round, Eastern Conference, Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers, and Mark, the game is still on.
Yeah, that kind of night.
Yeah.
It was not Philadelphia's night, and I texted you probably 5 minutes in there, and I'm like, yeah, let's get this done, because the plot was lost very quickly.
Well, at halftime, they only trailed by 8, and, you know, there were some positive signs. I thought, you know, figure second half, maybe James Harden could get going. Really just didn't do much outside of stuff at the free throw line. Maybe Joel Embiid on offense would be able to get some shots to fall down. Just didn't happen. They came out, put up a 16-point third quarter, and on the other end, the Boston Celtics, they shot the lights out pretty much all night. The game just ended. It's 121-87 is the final score. Boston Celtics were 20 for 51 from three.
Yeah. It's funny because I think the biggest thing that got brought up was how little they shot from deep in the first game. And then they got it up in volume tonight. I think they had like almost 20 attempts in the first quarter. They were shooting like crazy in the first quarter. And the shooting in the second half really propelled them moving forward. And like, I don't love just making it a shot profile game.
Right.
It's not just that, but it was a large part of it. Like, so much of what worked for Philly in the last game was, I mean, they shot well from three. I believe Harden was 7 of 14 from deep on mostly self-created attempts. And he was awesome from the mid-range too, getting to his shots there. Both him and Tyrese Maxey really didn't have that going for them tonight. A ton of rim outs. Like, he had a shot where it went like down and out twice and then rimmed out. And it was like, it just felt like that was the Sixers night for everybody. But more so on Embiid, like, as good as I thought he was defensively tonight, offensively, he just, like, he clearly is a little bit more than a little bit hobbled. Like, does not seem super aggressive trying to get downhill, like, understandably. Yeah. Was not able to have a big offensive impact tonight.
Yeah. You mentioned the defense. He had 5 blocks and they showed up on the stat sheet, but he only had 3 rebounds, you know, didn't help him much on the glass. I think that, you know, that has to be a massive part of his game. It's one of the things that the Celtics gave him trouble with in game one. For Embiid, he just looked a little slow, a little tentative. They did a good job. Every time he touched the ball, they send a second guy. Al Horford came over and made some big defensive plays on Embiid, I thought, in the second half. But it was over so fast. I'm not sure Embiid should have played. I know hindsight is 20/20 in these sorts of situations, but he just looked so immobile that I can't imagine that he looked much better before the game. I mean, it certainly didn't look like he was worse off in the third than he was at the start, but he looked bad for the game. I mean, you mentioned the defense, but these were plays at the basket. You know, he just had to sit there and kind of wait. Every time it looked like he had to move laterally. He picked up that one foul on Jason Tatum where he kind of got, you know, jumped on a pump fake three and Tatum goes baseline and he gets caught there in a foul where I feel like normally he just moves a little bit better. So, you know, again, hindsight's 20/20. Joel Embiid says he's ready to go. You play him. But man, I wonder if this now is going to hurt him in game three because they can't abide another game like this from Joel Embiid. They need him to be an impactful player.
Yeah, and I think, like, speaking of that too, I mean, he only took 9 shots tonight.
Right.
And I think part of that too is how condensed the lane was against him. Like, I thought, it's not that I even thought Boston's defense was bad in game one. I thought that they could have been better. But also, like, and I think it's tough because PJ Tucker brings a lot of good things defensively. I mean, I thought he was good defensively tonight, solid defensively tonight, but he is just such a non-factor offensively. And, like, even playing him, starting him, just feels detrimental at times. And I don't really know what the answer is with that because they've rocked with him the entire year, so I don't know where you go from there. But this was one of the games where it's like, I mean, there were a couple of shots that he just passed up. There was, Robert Williams III short closed on him. When he was in the corner, he didn't even look to shoot. He ended up driving it, but after thinking for a second, and it's just like very much in the point where it's like he is killing the offense.
Right.
Point blank, period. And I don't know what answer they have to go away from that.
I don't often bring up the broadcast, especially on this show. But there was a note where, you know, in the previous game, he didn't take a shot.
Yeah.
Just zeros across the board. And they were kind of, you know, gassing him up a little bit. And it's like, he did all the little stuff. Yes, he does all the little stuff. But one of the little things that's actually important for the five guys that's out there is shooting when you're open. It's just going to kill your offense. Being a hesitant shooter is actually worse than a bad shooter. He hit 1-3 tonight. Look, PJ Tucker, this is a new thing for him in the last couple of years. I think, you know, maybe his shot started to kind of feel like he felt less confident in it or something, but they need to see him taking four of these corner threes a game. He got to get them up. The defense has to respect that you're at least going to take the shot. And especially when Embiid's in there, man, that's an offensive rebounding opportunity for Embiid and maybe even a kick out to James Harden or Tyrese Maxey. And you're going to need those to compete because, you know, the Celtics are going to get those, right? Like they're going to get those second chance opportunities. Rob Williams, Al Horford, both really good passers off the offensive rebound. I just think, you know, he's got to find a way to contribute something on the offensive end. All the defensive stuff, all the hustle plays, that's all fine and good. But, you know, Isaac Okoro is kind of in that vein. And we all just were very quick to say, well, Isaac Okoro is not a playoff player. And I'm not saying PJ Tucker isn't, but I think he is a problem at this point in the playoffs for the Sixers. And they need to figure out, like, is he one of their five guys or not? I liked when they went to McDaniels and it was late. It was over. But I would like to see maybe a little bit more McDaniels. This is even maybe a George Niang series if he will shoot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem, too. Like, it wasn't even just PJ. Like, George had like two or three times where he just passed up a wide open shot and or hesitated. And for the pedigree that he has as a shooter and what his skill set is and what they need from him, like they can't have that. That can't happen. Like that was really rough. Arguably, I mean, again, like Paul Reed was like their best player off the bench, but when you factor in like, okay, he can't really play with Joel because he's your backup center. It just makes it tough even more. Like, and I don't want to do too much of a microcosm just on one game.
Right.
And extrapolate it out. But definitely really, really disheartening game for their bench.
Well, they play a little bit faster, you know, with B-ball Paul running up and down the court. Should note, not a great game for him. I mean, he was the best option they had coming off the bench, but, you know, it's not like he was incredible in this game coming off the bench, but they do play a little bit faster. That was the one thing I thought they did a good job of was getting into their sets early. They were crossing half court about 20 seconds in. By the way, the first half, the Boston Celtics, I thought they were taking their time. Third quarter, they came out aggressive. And, you know, there was a stretch where they missed a bunch of shots, but they were applying pressure against Philly, trying to get out in transition, trying to get early shot clock threes instead of, you know, dragging out these possessions. They were really going for the kill. As a matter of fact, there was one moment. Jason Tatum didn't have a great game. Guy only took 7 shots. He was 1 of 7, had 7 points. Committed his 4th foul and, you know, young coaches, I think, still have some of these same habits as the old coaches that, you know, we hammer the old coaches for this. But Joe Mazzulla didn't pull him out with his 4th foul, didn't foul him out. And that was the moment that they turned on the Jets and kind of finished this thing out. I think it was about a 14-point lead when he committed the foul, and it was about 20 when he got subbed out. So, you know, these sorts of moments right here that I'm watching, you know, I'm looking to see what's coming next in this series. You got game 3 coming up. It's going to be in Philly. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more.
head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We don't know how Embiid is going to look. Honestly, maybe don't even know his status. Like, there's a chance that maybe the knee is worse. Maybe he's not there for game three. We don't know at this point. But what are you looking to see adjustment-wise in game three? Let's start with Philly because they're, you know, they just lost, so that's how we got to look at it. What adjustment do you want to see from Philly?
Whatever they can to open up the Harden-Embiid two-man game. I know they really like to operate out of the middle of the floor with them, which I get because Joel's so comfortable and hard to do anything against around the elbows, but I want to see them try and exploit empty corners a little bit more because – I mean, Boston did such a good job just cheating off of their spacing on the weak side and just in general to clog up the middle of the floor. It felt like every time James tried to thread a pocket pass, they were getting a hand on it. Like those windows and gaps just weren't really there for the two of them outside of their pick and pop, which they went to a lot. And again, with what the shooting was, it didn't matter. So the driving lanes weren't really there. So I think to me, I want to see them do whatever they can to try and open that up. Probably, you know, that means spreading it out to farther reaches of the corners. And we'll see if they do that. What else do I want to see? Kind of like you mentioned, like I want to continue, you know, getting out faster. I think like their defense needed to be better tonight. Like I think there were some guys who played well individually. I don't think that they had the same intensity defensively tonight, or at least I should say they weren't as locked in. But part of that is too, like the Celtics did just like you mentioned, a lot better in that second half of quick hitters. And a lot of that too was Malcolm Brogdon was awesome tonight. We haven't even mentioned that yet. Like he was 6 of 10 from deep, 23 points, was so good with just the drives and redrives and continuing plays, and brought a really big dynamic for them that I thought shifted the game, especially in that late third quarter. Into the early fourth when he was playing. Like they didn't really have an answer for the driving that he brought. Cause even when you look at the beginning of the game, like so much of that first half was, I thought Jaylen Brown was just really effective as a play finisher, you know, operating out of pick and roll and just attacking from there. And that opened up stuff in general, but like for the most part, it was just him and Marcus Smart were playing really well. And they had a couple guys who were chipping in, but then the game really opened up with Malcolm in the second half. My opinion, that opened up the shooting in general. Like we're talking about a game where Jason Tatum had 7 points, was right. Mostly in foul trouble. Like he picked up his third foul really early on, and just he only ended up playing 19 minutes in this game. But like he was good getting downhill and he was aggressive attacking. I thought he looked really good as a passer and driver, but was just not really there as a scorer tonight. And they still got this, so it's like, yeah. Trying to find ways to condense down the driving lane is going to be big. I think, especially with how Al Horford has looked, I would have liked to see them be even more aggressive. And I think part of what's tough is with Joel coming off this injury, like how aggressive was he really playing? I still thought he was very good defensively, but like how much can you really just say, well, you know, sag way off of Al and be incredibly aggressive in the lane when you're at 70%? Like that's hard. To ask of him, but I think that's the answer right now because Al is, as well as he played defensively, he really just has not had it as from the scoring standpoint in the playoffs.
Yeah, but this is you see the advantage when you get to play five shooters, right? Like,
yeah,
there's just well, no one then, like, that you can.
They went to they. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no, like, they went to Grant Williams tonight, and Grant Williams took 8 threes. All the shots were from three. It hit four of them. Like, and that was
and open looks. And, exactly. And this is the thing, and this is what the Sixers. Again, I think it's going to be a PJ Tucker problem, and they're going to have to figure out a way to solve it. You need that spacing. Embiid needs that spacing. You know, you talked about getting to the two-man game. You need a shooter to kick it out to, and I don't mean a guy who is a theoretical shooter, a guy who occasionally shoots. You need a gunner. You need a guy who's going to take those shots. Tobias Harris is great at that. You know, like he's going to catch and he's going to shoot it. But, you know, you'd hope that they could find another person for that. So, I mean, you know, here a little question from the YouTube chat where we're live every single night post game during the playoffs. from Francisco Rojas, a regular here in the chat. Why not start a three-guard lineup with Melton instead of P.J. Tucker? And, I mean, this seems like the thing that we've been screaming all year long. I mean, Melton is obviously, to me, one of their best five guys. And he's got the size. It's not like Boston, you know, they're not playing bully ball out there. He would add some switchability defensively. What do you think? Would you go with Melton instead of P.J. Tucker?
I think it's just really tough because on one hand, I do get it. But also when you do that, you lose the element of having that extra gear off the bench. And I know that sounds like a little bit reductive and like a small thing. But I think when you go from, okay, well, this is our look to start off with. We know what we're getting from PJ defensively when he's coming out with the starters. To okay, now DeAnthony is out here. It's like, okay, well, how do we bring PJ Tucker off the bench when he's been part of our problem? Like, I feel like it's almost easier to be like, we have this answer off the bench instead of we have this thing off the bench that we don't know how to work in. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's something I would need to think through more. Like, I like somebody mentioned in the chat earlier, like, I don't know if Jalen McDaniels is necessarily solving anything for you either, but we know he's going to take the shots and he's big. And I wonder, like you mentioned, can there just be a really concerted effort to play fast as shit?
Like, that's the thing.
Like, if you inserted McDaniels or you played Melton more and just played both of them more, and we were like, okay, well, let's play really fast. Let's be
especially against the Celtics, because the Celtics, when they get sped up, they make mistakes. And if you look at this game, look, they ended the game with 6 turnovers, but in the competitive portion, it only had 4 turnovers. You know, when the game was over, they had only committed 4 turnovers. And the name of the game with the Boston Celtics is forcing them to make mistakes and throw the ball over the gym. When they're taking shots, they're good at shooting. You don't want them to get to that point. Like, you want them just, you know, tripping over their own feet as much as possible. And one way to get there is to actually play faster yourself, I believe. And they have the capability for it. You know, it may be a thing where, you know, Embiid sits and you have to do extended run with James Harden and Paul Reed. But James Harden has shown he can be effective up above 40 minutes a game. So, you know, this is not, I think this is not a solvable problem for the Sixers. If Embiid can be better than he was in this game physically, you can see a path to this series, you know, going 6 or 7. But if Embiid's not going to be there, no matter how fast they play, I just think there's a talent issue at that point.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point.
Yeah.
And then as for the Celtics, I mean, I think part of what was fun for them in this game is you saw them find some answers. Like we mentioned, I thought that they turned up a notch a little bit on how they were helping in the lane and who they were helping off of. But also, like, having Smart initiate as much as he did in this game, I thought was really big. I still think finding Jalen defensively or getting him somewhere that they're comfortable defensively is going to be huge, because, I mean, every time down, it feels like the Sixers are saying, let's bring him in and see what we can do creating against him. And I thought he was better to start the game, and then once we hit the second quarter, he was getting toasted again on the perimeter. And you know, that might just be what it is moving forward. Again, to be fair, he's playing against James Harden, but also he's got to be better than he's been. But like again, going off that too, even with, like, it was just such a weird Tatum game, because I thought, like, in looking and watching, like, process wise I felt good about it. Just instead of being, you know, settling for some of the jumpers he wasn't in. You know, at times, like, obviously he had a very good first game, but I thought he did a really good job just driving and attacking and getting things started in this game. Obviously missed the shots, and you don't want that. That needs to be different moving forward. But I think when you're able to get a confident Grant Williams who brought this, like, having a game from Grant Williams, who, not to say that he was the quote-unquote decider in this game, but having his minutes where he was capable of playing against Embiid on both ends of the court was huge. Like, I think I look at this and I'm just like, okay, they have more stuff that I feel good about. I wanted to ask you, how did you feel about the Rob Will minutes tonight? Because we talked about this the other day.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I still don't think that he's being deployed as a rim protector fully. And you know, you're going to see, obviously, game one to game two, such a big difference when you add Embiid out there with just the entire defensive strategy, I thought, for the Celtics. I just want to know how he is physically. because, you know, like we see, like he gets a few offensive rebounds in this game. He gets a few blocks, but there he's not contributing enough to the offense, in my opinion. You know, like one of the things that's missing from the Celtics this year has been his passing. Rob Williams as a passer is just incredibly gifted. I'd like to see them run more plays with him at the elbow. You know, it feels like we just don't get him passing out of the short roll as much this season. And again, I wonder if that's physical. But defensively, I want to see him roaming and playing help. And is he the guy who should be guarding PJ Tucker so that he can help off and maybe create some havoc at the rim? It doesn't matter in a game like this because this, you know, they just weren't close. They weren't scoring inside. Embiid wasn't a force. But what does it look like if Embiid is healthy? You know, what are they going to have Rob Williams do? What did you think about his game tonight?
I thought he was solid. Like we got to see him on PJ Tucker a little bit tonight. I think that was good. But he still just feels a little bit tight. Like he doesn't like you mentioned. I don't think that he's still fully there physically right now. Like on the offensive end, I completely agree. Like I would just like to see them do a little bit more with him. Not that they didn't use him at all, but
right.
It's in a weird place with me, but it's been interesting too, because not even that they saying that they haven't needed him would be the wrong way to put it, but it's like they haven't really.
You haven't felt him. Felt him is what it is. And usually Rob Williams, like last year, he was a force in the playoffs. He was an undeniable force. You would come away from Celtics games and you would have felt that he was a part of the victory. Whereas in this game, he's kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair way to put it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Game 3 is going to be fascinating. Got to keep an eye on Embiid and his health, and I'm sure that we'll get plenty of reporting over at The Athletic on that. For Mark Schindler, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been The Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding, y'all.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.